Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We love to say it. Thank you for your service. And it's the right thing to say. It's a good thing to say. And I want to say this off the bat on this piece. This is in no way a hit piece or a piece to denigrate anything against our brave men and women and our veterans in the United States. Not at all. This is a piece that we need to hear because you guys deserve the attention and the care and the help and everything that you went and put your life on the line for by signing up to be in our armed services. You deserve better than what you're getting. And I think you already know that. But I know that a lot of the folks who didn't serve do know that. They like to hide and say, thank you for your service, and then be blissfully ignorant on how few services you're actually offered after you're subjected to mental hell. That's what this is about. I want to get that right away established and off the bat so nobody can go, why are you I am not attacking anyone. I am attacking a system that likes to wave flags really big and act all patriotic, but then when it comes back to actually helping and taking care of our brave men and women, it's like, well, you gotta go recruit over here. You need some help? 5 months, maybe we'll get you in with a therapist. Oh, you need one right now. You're feeling suicidal. How about 3 weeks? Will that work for you? Are you all hearing this? Those of you who have not served, are you all hearing how screwed up this system is? Too busy to hear that. It's a problem we've had in this country for quite some time. I mean, look all the way back to other wars, Vietnam, and all sorts of things. I mean, the thought as a child of, well, there's this homeless person, he's probably a vet. We're hearing that a lot. And it was just like, as a child, you're hearing it, you don't understand what any of that means. Like, oh, okay. Why is it that so many vets are up here homeless and living on the street and seem to be having a lot of mental health problems? Oh, well, they, you know. Okay, well, then why aren't we helping them? This is keep walking. That seemed to be kind of how people like to handle things here. I don't know why. We love to say it. Thank you for your service. It's our go-to phrase when we see someone in uniform at an airport, at a game, in line, at the grocery store. We clap for them at halftime. We offer upgrades at the gate, sometimes pick up their lunch at Applebee's. It makes those who haven't served feel proud, connected, and patriotic. But what happens when the person we thanked is unraveling? When that same veteran years later becomes a name on a police scanner, not as a hero, but as the one who opened fire? What happens when the story doesn't fit the narrative that we prefer? This last weekend, two American towns were ripped apart by two horrifying acts of violence, one in Michigan, one in North Carolina, two different states, two very different settings, a Sunday morning church service and a Saturday night event at a waterfront bar. But both shootings carried the same shadow. Each alleged shooter was a U.S. military veteran, and both authorities say had long histories of psychological distress. We don't like to talk about that, though. That's icky. They're He-Man. They went off to war. They couldn't have possibly anything that's going on in their mind that could cause them distress. And we don't like to handle that over here. I don't know. Again, I don't know why. It's like it makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable. Well, buckle up, buttercup. Because that's just you on the outside. Imagine the person's who's going through the torment in their brain that they think this is the right way to work it out. They're going through some distress. We prefer to say the word veteran with reverence, not discomfort. And that's good. It should be that way because we should care for our veterans. But if we're going to talk about gun violence, if we're going to talk about mental health, and if we're going to talk about mass shootings in America, then we can't keep skipping over the part where a significant number of those pulling the trigger once wore the uniform. Let's start with what happened. Grand Blanc Township in Michigan, Sunday morning, congregants gathered for a peaceful service at a local Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, about 50 miles north of Detroit. At 10:25 a.m., police say Thomas Jacob Stanford rammed his pickup truck directly through the wall of the church, got out, opened fire, and then set the church on fire using gasoline. Explosives were suspected, but as of this recording, it's all still under investigation. Four people as of now confirmed dead, eight injured. Some may have burned to death rather than being shot. A fire that fast, that violent, doesn't leave time for second chances. Inside the church, people rushed to shield their children. They dragged them to corners, covered them with their bodies, and within 30 seconds, a police officer arrived on the scene. 8 minutes later, Stanford was dead, shot and killed by law enforcement after a standoff inside the burning building. Let's be clear, Stanford was a former Marine, served in Iraq from 04 to 08. According to the Department of Defense, a sergeant, he received commendations. Deployed during Operation Iraqi Freedom. He had a child, his son, with a rare genetic disorder. The family had launched a GoFundMe years earlier to cover medical bills. On social media, he didn't look like a man on edge. But that's how it goes, doesn't it? His truck, the one he used to crash through the church, had two large American flags mounted in the bed with deer antlers strapped to the bumper. And just like that, he turned a symbol of service into a weapon of terror. Now go south, Southport, North Carolina, Saturday night, a waterfront bar, live music, a crowd gathered on the outdoor deck of the American Fish Company, watching the boats drift in the dark. Felt like summer, even though at the time September was winding down. That peace shattered when a white center console boat pulled close to the pier. Witnesses say the man on board opened fire on the crowd from the water. Three people were killed, five more injured. Just regular people enjoying their evening. Tourists, locals, a town that frankly looks like it was built for Hallmark movies, not national news coverage. The alleged shooter was Nigel Edge. He's 40, another veteran, combat service, injured in the line of duty. According to officials, he self identified as having PTSD and had a long pattern of filing lawsuits against a church, a hospital, and even country singer Kelly Pickler, whom he once attended the country awards with as part of a veteran appreciation program. In those lawsuits, Edge alleged bizarre conspiracies that LGBTQ groups and white supremacists were colluding to kill him, that he was being targeted by civil conspiracies for being straight and having survived Iraq. His delusions or his complaints were dismissed legally and medically. What they tell us is this: he was unraveling, and it wasn't subtle. See something, say something. He did. And he went through the system as it is designed, to push you out and move on to the next thing. Oh, you need help? Well, yeah, we can't be bothered with that. After the shooting, Edge tried to flee by boat. He was detained about 30 minutes later at a public boat ramp. He's now charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder, multiple counts of attempted murder, and weapons charges. Now stop and consider what would happen if either of these men didn't have a military record. Would we be asking different questions? Would the headlines look different? Would we be more willing to interrogate the warning signs? Here's the problem. The words, "thank you for your service," often act like a shield, as if service alone justifies silence, even when someone is clearly in crisis. But here's a harder truth. Some of the most catastrophic violence in the country is being committed by people we once saluted. It's not anecdotal. Numbers are there. We just don't like them. Let's start with this. According to the Violence Project, a nonpartisan database that tracks mass shootings, about 26% of mass shooters since 1966 have military experience. Veterans make up only about 6-7% of the adult U.S. population. That means, if we're doing math, not an opinion, math doesn't lie. That means proportionately, veterans are overrepresented in mass shootings by a factor of 4. You don't hear that number a lot because people don't like what it implies. It's not that military service causes violence. It doesn't. But military service plus PTSD plus isolation, then you add some addiction issues in there as one is trying to deal with their PTSD, the military service, the isolation, and not getting the help that they are entitled to, deserve, and should be getting. You get addiction. And then you get access to firearms and a hell of a lot of training in them. And thank God they did have that training in them because they needed them when they were in active service. So again, this is not a knock on firearms either. It's an observation of a perfect storm and a pattern we can't keep ignoring. Because if you do, you're not living in reality. And how's that working out for you? When we're talking about firearms, let's talk about suicide, because for every mass shooting that makes the news, there are dozens of silent deaths that don't. In 2022 alone, 6,392 veterans died by suicide. Yeah, we don't talk about that much, do we? That's more than the World Trade Center. There were 17 every single day. Nearly 3 out of 4 of those deaths involved a firearm. Let that sink in. Veterans die by suicide at a rate of 1.5 times higher than non-veteran adults. And when they do, guns are the method, nearly 75% of the time. Those aren't just statistics. Those are missed interventions, missed conversations, systems that failed, or better yet, systems that don't freaking exist. Why does it keep happening? Well, yes, part of it is access to the firearms of unhealthy people. Veterans are more likely to own firearms, more likely to be trained in their use, and let me say this too, in many ways, more likely to know how to use them responsibly. But also, more educated in how to use them as killing machines than your average Joe. And less likely to be flagged by red flag laws due to their status. Part of it is inadequate mental health support. The VA has been under federal scrutiny for years, and most recently, the VA Inspector General reported 4,434 severe staffing shortages, with psychologists topping the list as the most needed and least available clinical providers. At one facility studied, the median wait between therapy sessions was over 3 weeks. Repeated three times, with more than half of veterans dropping out before their third visit. You don't treat complex trauma by making people sit in silence for 22 days or longer. In 3 weeks, that's your median. I've seen and I've heard from many much longer, much, much longer waits. And when you're in mental health crisis, you don't have days to wait. You don't have weeks to wait. You have months to wait. Sometimes you don't have hours to wait. But that's what we do. Well, it's because of this. It's because of that. Let's make excuses over here and do nothing about it. You don't treat complex trauma by making people sit in silence. You treat it with continuity, with trust, with frequency. And part of it is our national reluctance to talk about veterans as anything but victims or heroes. The moment someone suggests that a veteran might also be a perpetrator of harm, the conversation gets shut down pretty quick. You're accused of being unpatriotic, disrespectful. You're told to keep quiet. But that silence is costing lives and many of their own. This shouldn't be a conversation about shaming someone for pointing out the obvious of what's going on. This should be a conversation that's going on because we need to have it, because they deserve better, because they raised their hand and said, I will serve, and you didn't. And with that should come some extra perks with life, not just on paper, but in actual real life, they should be getting them. But they're not. And we continue to enable a system that denies them the help that is needed. We have to face this with clarity. Being a veteran doesn't make someone a killer, but it doesn't make them immune to violence or to committing it. The trauma doesn't end when the war does. The uniform doesn't block mental illness. And in far too many cases, the guns don't go back in the safe. The signs are there. In court filings and behavioral spirals and GoFundMe pleas for help in lawsuits that read like delusions. In failed therapy sessions and missed appointments. And yet again and again, the institutions fail. The people who could act don't. The help isn't offered or it isn't followed through. The flags are ignored until they're draped over caskets or crime scenes. This isn't just about prevention. It's about honesty. We can't keep talking about gun violence in this country while skipping over the role that military trauma and untreated mental illness among veterans plays. We can't keep honoring their service while ignoring their suffering. Because that's exactly what goes on when someone is told to shut up when pointing out the obvious. They're not there to shame the veterans. They're there to honor their service while not ignoring their suffering, while saying this person is hurting, this person needs help. We don't talk about that. I am not a veteran. I have many family members who are. I, from the generation that came up around 9/11, and I had many friends who went off to war and several died. I can't speak to this from a veteran perspective. I can speak to it from a person who loves many of them, has many close family members who are, and who gives a shit about their mental health and well-being. And I hope you can too. We can't keep pretending that every veteran tragedy is a story of heroism lost, when sometimes it's also a story of violence ignored until it detonates. Sanford burned down a church. Edge opened fire on a bar from a boat. Both were men who once wore the uniform. Both were broken long before they pulled the trigger. We can't change what they did. We can hold them accountable legally, morally, historically, but if we want to stop the next version of this story, we have to go upstream. We have to do the real work. We need to provide the mental health teams that can help these people when they need it. Rapid response mental health teams that coordinate across law enforcement and the VA. Stronger red flag protocols that don't ignore someone just because they once served. And above it all, a culture that stops preventing, or pretending rather, we're helping veterans just because we say thank you loud enough. They deserve better, and so does every family shattered by one more story like this. Because thank you without help isn't respect. It's abandonment with a smile. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section. That's on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers wherever you are listening, and you will find us there, and you can let us know your thoughts. Be sure to press subscribe while you're at it. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.